As we look at Psalm 34, verses 4 through 7 together, a couple of things I want you to know about this passage. This is a passage, or actually it's a testimony that David gives us about being thankful for God delivering the nation. And this is very similar to other passages that we find that David writes, and even in other parts of the Old and the New Testament, in declaring God's greatness. And in the midst of uncertainty, those places in Scripture always showed that the people of God looked toward God. And when we put this message together, I usually work about 2 weeks ahead. I had no idea what would be going on in our country the Sunday that this was preached. And as we think about the title of this message, being free from fear, I think this is an appropriate message this morning for what we see going on as any other message that we could have had today. But when we look at this passage, I want us to understand the way to be free from fear. And let's establish this. God's desire is for us to not live in fear. And I said in my prayer, and this is the sort of underlying message this morning that I want us to remember, write down if you need to, hang your hat on it, pull it out in the weeks and the months to come. And that is this: our faith, right now God is speaking very loudly and telling us our faith is based on Him. It's not on a political party or process. It's not on who is president or who is not president. It's placing our faith in Him, and listen to this, our trust in Him. And at times in history, we've seen both in the Scriptures and even in church history, where the church failed to do that and began to suffer the consequences of that. And I'm not saying what's going on in the world today is God bringing judgment. I'm not ready to say that yet. But I will tell you this, that God is reminding us right now that our focus needs to be on Him. And that we shouldn't live in fear. Why is that? Because He is sovereign. He is God. There is nothing that happened this week or happened in November or will happen even in this next year that He is not able to control. And maybe, just maybe, when we begin to reflect on what our role is, we begin to remember that God is still moving and working, and people are still in need of hearing that gospel. And so this morning as we look at this, it's hard often to know what was in the mind of the writer that God is using. But I think this morning when we look at David's words, they resoundingly become very relevant for us today. In that as he too was going through a period of uncertainty and God began to deliver in God's way. Now this is another thing that's sort of an underlying sort of message in many of these passages in the Old Testament and probably applies to us today. And that is this: when we seek God and look toward Him, be careful that you don't sort of box God into doing what you want Him to do, but rather pray that His will be done. And that includes with what's going on in our country and the political processes that are playing out. If God is sovereign and in control, then He can control all of those things. So as we look at this morning, I want to pray and then we'll read God's Word together. As I've said, we'll read verse 4 down to about verse 7. And then we're going to come back, and if you're taking notes, I would encourage you to do this. We're going to look at three actions that you and I can take to be free from fear. So let's pray and then we'll jump into God's Word. Father, thank You again this morning for the relevance of Your Word as we look at this passage this morning and what it was speaking of then and spoke to at that time, and then what it speaks to us today. It really is a reminder of the nature of Your Word, that it's a living, breathing Word of God, that it's relevant today as much as it was, say, 4,000 years ago. And so, God, we're thankful for that, and we this morning sit in awe before You, worshiping You, putting our faith and our trust in You, and knowing that the fear and even the fear-mongering that's going on around us right now is those things that just sort of are distractions. We need to be focused on You. And so I pray this morning as we look at this and talk about being free from fear and understanding that fear is a real thing and knowing that people face fears in all types of things, not just in fear of uncertainty. So, Father, we come to you and ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to you. If there's someone this morning here or somebody that's watching this on live stream that has never truly accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, our prayer this morning, Father, is through the speaking of your word, through the study of it, that your Holy Spirit, God, would begin to work in their heart and melt away whatever those obstacles are that are keeping them from surrendering to you. And today, this morning, they would surrender to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. For us as believers, Father, we ask, strengthen us, open us up, examine us, and help us to see what you see. And to forever be changed, God, because we've come face to face with you and your word this morning. You bless the reading of your word. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. And it says this starting in verse 4, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all of my fears. Now this morning so far, I've talked about the fear of uncertainty on a national level and even to some extent on an individual level, but we understand that fear is a dangerous thing. And fears existed long before what we see playing out in our own country right now. Fears can be very personal too. We can have fears and phobias of all kinds of things, and the fear is something that as we begin to experience the presence of Jesus Christ, we too can be freed from our fears. Now we're going to build on this verse 4, but I want us to understand that he is praying to the Lord. He is seeking to the Lord. That is a key. Because we are the children of God and we know that he listens to us, when we do begin to realize there is fear gripping our lives, then we need to be able to trust him enough to go to him and ask him to free us from those fears. Now let's go on to verse 5, and it says this, those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. Now verse 5 is the conviction verse this morning, to be honest with you. In spite of all of what we're happening and seeing and the things that are talked about on social media this week and a lot of the doom and gloom, are we as Christians living out verse 5? Are we radiant with joy in spite of what's going on around us? Some of us might be. A lot of us probably are not. And we're letting, listen to this, we're letting Satan use different kinds of fear to grip our hearts and distract us from what we should be experiencing, and that is be radiant with joy. Now we know that David is speaking of a time where the nation was under siege and they were delivered by the miraculous hand of God. And so this psalm is a thanksgiving song, but it also is a testimony, as I said a moment ago. And so David, in the midst of writing this, is saying, in the midst of all of that, we are radiant with joy. Why is that? Because we belong to him. And as we've said, if we keep our focus on him, our eyes on him, our trust on him, then we too will begin to see the radiant joy in the midst of chaos. Verse 6 goes on to say this, in my desperation I prayed and the Lord listened. He saved me from all of my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Now, I don't want us to be confused here, but that last statement, when we talk about that God wants us to be free from fear, whatever it is, there's an exception to that. He commands us, and he reiterates it in the end of verse 7, is that we should fear him and him alone. So as we talk about being free from fear of things that we can't control and forces that are work around us, at the same time, we have a fear of him. Now, let's be honest, that's a different kind of fear. The fear of him is a fear of respect. It's a fear of awe. It's a fear of reverence. It's a fear of understanding how great God is and how in desperate need we are of him. So we are commanded to have that type of fear, but that is a very different kind of fear than the fear that we talk about being freed from. Now this morning as we move into these, we're going to sort of exegete this passage and break it apart and look at it. And as I've said, there are three actions that we can take in order to be free from fear. Now, I would encourage you, as I've said, to write these down. But we also need to understand that these encompass any kind of fear that we would face, with, of course, the exception of fearing the Lord. If we do these things, we do have a fear of the Lord, a fear of reverence of the Lord. But all other fears. And this week, I was looking at all of the different kinds of phobia. I know some of you studied this like I did in certain psychology courses. And some of these I'm familiar with, some I were not. But we have all kinds of phobias that they diagnose today. One is the fear of heights. I suffer from that one. Many of you do. The acrophobia is what that's called. There's also a fear of flying. We spent some time with family yesterday, and my dad was telling a story about when he was afraid of flying when he was in Korea and the plane almost crashed. That's called aerophobia. That's interesting to me. A fear of open spaces and a fear of crowds, which we probably shouldn't have that today, is called agoraphobia. I didn't know the name of that one, but it's one that I learned. This one's interesting. If you have a fear of bacteria or germs, those fellow fear of germ people like me, it's called bacteriophobia. That makes sense. But those are real fears. There's a fear of gravity. I don't even know how you have a fear of gravity, but it's called barophobia. And you can be afraid of gravity. We've never lived a moment without gravity, so I'm not sure how you would be afraid of that. And then this is the final one, and I'm not trying to make gist of fears. All I'm trying to do is say that there are all types of fears that grip people today. But if you have a fear of books, again, if you come into my office, you know darn well I don't have a fear of books, but you put two and two together, it's called bibliophobia. Now, when I was a student, I probably had bibliophobia. Some of you did too and didn't know that, and the teachers forced us to suffer through our fear of books. But with all kidding aside, I say all of those things just simply to put us in a right perspective of understanding that fears encompass all kinds of things. And it does not matter whether or not we think it's a fear or not. It doesn't matter whether it's something we're afraid of or not. Because it's something that someone else fears, then it's a real fear. And as we look at what's going on in the world around us and in our country, and then individuals, we begin to understand that maybe, just maybe, God brings us this morning to listen to this because we may not have any real fears ourselves, but we have people around us that have fears. And so maybe these are three things that you help them with, as well as maybe some of us using them in our own lives. Number one is this. You'll see it on the screen. The first action, and this comes clearly out of what we read in verse 4 and even reiterated in verse 7, and that is this. The first action we need to take is we need to trust God. Now that's easier said than done, and you've heard me say this. I think right now God is speaking to the church. He has all year long, I believe. And there have been different things I think He's been saying to us, but I think very clearly right now He is trying to let us to understand that He is the only one that we should be trusting. Not society, not culture, not a political process, not even a church structure, but putting our trust solely and only in Him. We need to trust God through all of our fears. And just like what David says in the last, really in the verse part of verse 5, and then sort of reiterates it in the last part of verse 5, when he says the radiance with joy, the statement that when we look to God for help, when we trust Him, then it's not just something that we do with lip service, it's not just something that we say, but through the actions of trusting God, now we are able to experience that unimaginable, undefinable, radiant joy that he speaks of in verse 5. And as believers, we ought to feel conviction if we're not doing that. If we're allowing the fears now to begin to cause us to sort of stray away or to be misfocused or to debilitate us. Now, I've taken enough psychology classes, and as we look at all of the phobias that I just mentioned, one of the things that a professor once taught me is we all have some type of fear. We don't like to admit it, but we all have fear. Fears are natural in lives. It's what we do with those fears and whether or not they now begin to keep us from doing normal things in our lives. Now, I don't know that you're there, but this week I imagine there are some who are experiencing fear maybe on that level. They're scared. They're afraid. But yet they claim to know Jesus. They claim to put their trust in God. But yet they're living in fear that now is debilitating their ability to do what God wants them to do and to be what God wants them to be. Maybe what God is equipping and has been equipping the church these last few years is for this very moment. For us to communicate the message that God has given us, that He is on His throne, He is sovereign. And I love this, humanity is not what we need to trust. That will always fail us. But our trust should be in Him and only Him. And it's not just something that we say on Sunday mornings in the protection of an auditorium like this, but it's something that we live out every single day in the way we live our lives. Experiencing that radiant joy. Experiencing that unspeakable joy in the midst of chaos and uncertainty. Listen, trusting God as believers is really the only option we have. And if we choose not to do that, then we will experience the consequences, I believe, of being disobedient to what God has called us to do. We will begin to be encompassed by those fears, and fear is a dangerous thing. It can create mischief. It can cause us to do things that rationally we would never do. It would cause us to have anxiety and all kinds of other things that we're not even mentioning here with medical issues and things like that and the stress. Listen, it's not that God says that the fears aren't real. It says, give those fears over to me and love me enough and trust me enough to allow me to be more than those fears. The second thing that we need to do is this. Not only do we need to trust Him, but this is one that's kind of a loaded statement. We need to be patient. Now the first thing that I would say is this. We need to be patient with ourselves. Because if we are created in the image of God, and that includes our emotions too, then we need to understand that God knows us better than we know ourselves. And oftentimes I think what God does, and again, He doesn't always answer things the way we want Him to. He answers them, thankfully, the way that they need to be answered. And He does what He wants to do, not what you and I want to do. And sometimes when we do trust Him and try to give our fears over to Him, we get impatient. We want really an antiseptic rather than a cure. We want to feel good and no longer suffer in that moment. But we're not really in it for the long term for the cure. It's almost like this. I, you know, with all the cold weather, and I've been doing some things in the yard, and I've gotten all the little cuts on my hands. Well, rather than wearing gloves, which is the cure, by the way, I just keep putting things on and the liquid bandage. I don't know who invented that, but it's like super glue. That's all that is, I think. It hurts. And so I will put that on, and it will take the pain away eventually, and then I can go back to work, but guess what? It's going to come back. It's antiseptic. It's a Band-Aid fix. And while that's funny when we think about things like that, it's not funny when we're going to the Lord and looking for a quick fix of antiseptic in our life and not a cure. And I'm convinced a lot of Christians today have grown terribly impatient with the Lord and with themselves because they're looking for a quick fix, a microwave 30-second fix for their life, and not the long-term commitment of a cure that God wants to do in your life. Sometimes God does the 30-second cure. He does. But oftentimes He doesn't. And so what He's asking for us to do is trust Him through the process and to be patient not only with ourselves and coming to terms with what it is that we need to be doing. And I am convinced of this as well, that oftentimes the problem of the cure is that we're not listening, or we're not being obedient, or we're not in a place where we need to be in order to complete what God is calling us to do. And so that involves patience. Allowing God to get us where we need to be and get us to that place in our spiritual walk so that we can now begin to experience, I believe, the healing, the cure that He wants in our lives. But at the same time, we need to be patient with the Lord. And I've already sort of alluded to this one. That sort of, I think, for a believer, goes hand in hand with being patient with yourself. Being patient with God. Knowing that God is God and we are not. And we are looking at Him and His actions through a little tiny hole in a door. as a metaphor. We're only seeing what we can see through that hole. We don't see the rest of it. And I assure you, there's a bigger part of what God is doing. And I would say that about our country this morning. I mean, I am choosing to look at this through the lens of what we read in Scripture. God always protects His people, amen? God always protects His children. God has been in what I'm not going to say God has been, but this world has been in more dire straits than we think it is right now. I'm just going to be honest. It has. And God has always continued to do what He does. And despite what you think about what's going on, listen to this. The gospel still needs to be heard in this community. People still are dying without Jesus. People need the hope that we have in Christ. And no matter what happens or who is president, we still have the responsibility to get up the next morning and be the church to the lost world. Amen? And that's something that we have to choose to do despite what's going on. If you were to jump back 4,000 years ago and live what David is speaking of, I don't know that there would be a lot of similarities because of the change in time, but there was a hopelessness at times in the nation of Israel, where there was no cure, there was no hope. It was over, it was ended. But it really wasn't, because they were choosing to see only what they could see through the little hole in the door and believing that there was nothing else beyond that. When you and I know from the experience of Scripture and the depth of our faith that there is so much that God is doing that we don't see. And maybe that's what's happening in our country right now. You and I have been praying for revival and renewal in this country. Maybe God's answering that. Now, I'll admit He's not answering it the way that I wanted Him to answer it, and probably not the way you wanted Him to answer it, but He is still doing His work, and we have to trust and believe that. And so as we think about this, we need to be patient with the process. I would also add a third thing, not just be patient with yourself and be patient with God, but we also need to be patient with one another, because there's a lot of confusion, and there's a lot of questioning. And the nature of the church is we see it as a fellowship. And I would say this morning as well, not just physically here, but virtually as well. If people are watching via live stream but feel a part of our church or are a part of our church, this applies to them. But God brings us together for a reason, so that we can find comfort through Him in one another. And also the encouragement and the teaching and the correction that goes on in a body of believers. Those are all important. And this past year, we've experienced a season where we didn't have the freedom to come together and worship like this. But we understood the work of the church continued on. And here we are able to meet again, but there's a certain segment of our church who doesn't feel comfortable meeting in person. So they're watching via live stream or however they do that. But yet they still are part of the life and the work of this church. But even in the midst of all of that, God is still working through this church. And He still calls us to be a part of that, to be His tools and His instruments. Being patient with one another is essential, because there are other believers who may be struggling in areas with this that you're not. And you may be struggling in areas that they're not, but through the divine nature of God calling the church people together, we now begin to find strength in one another and the ability to sort of come together and find that encouragement that can't be found anywhere else for a believer, but in the fellowship of other believers. Number three is this, as we move along, we need to trust Him, as we've said. We need to be patient. That includes being patient with ourselves, being patient with the work of God. But then number three is this, and this one again is kind of a loaded statement. We need to let Him free us. We don't need to let something else free us, or we don't need to let an impostering force free us. Now, what does that mean? I think there is, you go to the bookstores, well, we don't have as many bookstores as we used to have, right? But if you go to Amazon Books and you start looking online and you put in self-help or some type of fear, and you'll find thousands of books. And some of them are good, some of them are bad. You'll find a whole world of behavioral therapy out there that you can go and get counseling. And man, I encourage those things. But as a believer, all of those types of external things should be, in my opinion, coupled with the healing that we only find through Jesus Christ. So when we begin to look at our fears and the uncertainties that we face, we need to understand that God may use tools, okay, like books and therapists, but ultimately He's the one that we look to for the healing, not something else. And again, I think the world is full of all kinds of imposters when it comes to healing and fixing the problems in our lives. I mean, you just turn on the TV and every commercial has some solution to a problem that you have. You didn't even know you had that problem. Or if you look in a magazine, you'll see every advertising article or piece of advertisement is about some type of problem that you have that needs to be fixed. And while we can facetiously look at those and laugh, we understand that when we start talking about the fear and the problems that we've talked about this morning, God is the healer. He is the great physician. And while He may choose to use sort of external things, we need to make sure that we look to Him through that healing process. Now, this is a loaded statement because listen to this. Look at what David says in the very first part of verse 4. I prayed. Now, David didn't say, well, listen, I ignored God and I went on into my carnal life and I distanced myself from God and I decided to ban myself from the church and people who love the Lord and then God answered me. No, it very clearly seems to indicate that David humbled himself. He went to the Lord. He sought the Lord. Now, I know this is the third point, but this actually could be one of the most important points. Okay? That is that we need to seek healing from the Lord. We need to seek Him. We need to draw closer to Him. And as I've said, sometimes the patience that we are being asked to experience is because we're not where we need to be with the Lord to be able to handle the cure that He wants to give us. And so maybe part of the fear is God wanting you to get into the right place so that He can resolve that issue in your life so that now you can have the confidence to move forward to do what He really wants you to be doing. And you think about that as an individual, but also think about that as a church. I mean, you got to be careful here, but Paul uses sort of the body as an illustration of the church. So I'm not going too far off the reservation to say that if we wanted for just a moment to take that same analysis of an individual human and lay it on the church may be gripped with fear right now and have been for some time, okay? And so maybe God is looking for the church to be renewed and revived and put Him back where He needs to be in every single church in this country so that then we can be freed from those fears, trust Him, and be the church that He's actually called us to be instead of the political commentators that many of us become. And I'm not trying to knock on anybody, but listen, I think the church needs to be about Jesus and then comment about things. But many have reversed that. I don't know any of you but would fall in this category, but there are probably some Christians in the last week, maybe the last 3 weeks, that have spoken more about former presidents and future presidents to their friends than they ever have about Jesus. Now, don't answer that question. But that is one that now begins to go back to that statement that he says in verse 5, are we experiencing the radiant joy or are we not? Are we being the believer that God calls us to believe, or are we not? Is the message that we're giving to people the doom and gloom, the hopelessness, or is it the message of Jesus Christ has changed my life? And my hope is in Him and only in Him. And He is the one that will free me from those fears. Listen, that'll keep preaching, but I'm going to stop right there. Because I think we'll just park here and maybe at another time we'll come back and continue to build on this. And I do believe through 2021, I love this. I saw this week. Someone said, I've tried the 7-day trial on 2021 and I want my money back. I don't want to do 2021. Well, we don't have a choice. We're here. And I think a common theme for the rest of this year is going to be fear and putting God in His proper place and choosing to trust Him, and as we've said, to be patient with what He's doing, and then look to Him and share with others that freedom is found only through Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning, God, for a difficult passage like this, but we are thankful, God, for the relevance that it has in our lives right now, and in many of our friends and fellow believers, perhaps. God, I pray that You would truly revive Your church. Revive Your children throughout this nation and maybe throughout this world. And as we may not understand fully what is going on, we worship one, Father, you, who knows everything that's going on. And so, God, we pray for our country as we've sort of threaded this through our message this morning. We pray for our new president as he comes in, and our new vice president, and our new Congress, and our new Senate, Father. It doesn't matter what we think about that process, but that is what sits before us right now. And we are commanded to pray for them. And so we do that this morning. We pray, as Roger mentioned earlier, that the decisions that they make, God, would be in accordance to your will, because that's what you tell us to pray about. And so we ask that. We pray through this moment in time in our country that what we are seeing is the threshold of a great revival and renewal that will change the landscape of our churches forever and ever. God, in all honesty, many churches have grown apathetic, and too many believers have grown callous and lazy in their faith. And maybe this moment is so that you can revive us, so that we can now continue to do what you've truly called this church to do. So, Father, I pray that fear, as we said this morning, would not be a tool of Satan to disrupt that process, but that we would be able to, as we've said this morning, trust in you, be patient in that process, and seek you to free us from that fear, God, so that we can do what you've called us to do. God, I don't know what decisions need to be made this morning. Maybe some just need to pray. Maybe some need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe some need to come to this altar. Maybe some need to rededicate their life. There may be others who are ready to join this church, or perhaps to get saved, to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Whatever that may be, whether it be physically here or virtually through our live stream, I think this is our time to respond to you, to say the things to you, Father, that we need to say as far as our own walk with you and what that means for tomorrow and the rest of this week. God, help us to be a church that is seeking that renewal and seeking that revival. Father, we give this time to you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Would you stand now for our time of commitment?